We will start the meeting. The meeting will come to order. We don't have a quorum, but I'm going to first have Mr. Crowe go through what is in our packets.
Madam Chair, members, the source of all this information is the Department of Education, so we will let them clarify or talk about most of it, but there are two spreadsheets printed on legal paper that we have taken information from the Department of Education and formatted it so that you can read it a little better. The first one with the tiny print is a report from 2009 of federal funds received by type and by district. There's 16 pages, and there's enough columns to cover two full widths for each district. So from pages 1 through 8 is the first set of columns for each district, and then 9 through 16 is the second set of columns. So you can see Aiken for each type of grant. You can read across the columns for each type of federal funds they get. And then on page 19, Aiken starts again, District 1, and you read across the columns and see what kind of federal funds they receive. And then a total for federal funds for fiscal 09 on page 9. And then a total for each school district. And then there's another legal-sized spreadsheet that says FY10 ARRA state total funding. So for fiscal 10, it's a description by school district of the ARRA funding that is allocated to the districts, what they're budgeting, and how much they've expended. Actually, the expended information wasn't quite as useful because a lot of the expenditures hadn't been actually paid yet. So the detail by district is only the allocation and the budget for the current fiscal year, current fiscal year 2010. The packet with the PowerPoint is the one that the department brought with them, so I'll let them, as they go through their presentation, describe what each of those spreadsheets is and explains while they're doing their presentation.
Hey, thank you, Mr.
Oh, and Madam Chair, I apologize. The front page of this legal one is just a summary by program, kind of a totals page for all the things that are described in the district by district spreadsheet that's attached.
Okay, very good. Representative, we now have a quorum, so Representative Anderson, would you move the minutes, please?
Yes, Madam Chairman, I certainly did.
Representative Anderson has read the minutes and moves them, the minutes of February 17th. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. And now, they got tired of waiting, but if we could get the department back up here so that we could, whoever's coming, to start. I think it's the first two. No. We have a day planned to look at the federal funding. Often we think of the general fund or the parts of the formula and things like that, but actually there's a big part of the money that is spent for students and education in our state that comes from the federal government. And so with the stimulus money and everything more in our thoughts, we thought we would have a day when we could just plug into what money we get and be able to ask questions about it. And my first question before you start, and then or please introduce yourselves, but if one of you could answer, and if it's in the PowerPoint, then just ignore and continue on with your presentation. But I'm just wondering what percentage of our state funding is federal compared to what's in the general fund. So please introduce yourselves and proceed.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Tammy McGlone. I'm an Administrative Services Director at the Department of Education. Right now, I just have the number for operations. I don't have the grant pass-through number, but we operate on about 53% federal funds, about 46% or 40. Let's see. There's 1% of special revenue, and 46% of state for operating accounts.
So that's why this is an important hearing.
It's a lot of money, Madam Chair.
Could you just repeat that, Ms. McGlone, because members did not. And if you pulled your mic up, it's hard to hear. We're so far away from you. And then probably even harder for people out in the audience. So if you could just repeat those percentages. These are for operating. She said she didn't have the pass-throughs, but could you repeat it for the operating funds?
Madam Chair, for the operating expenditures, we are now at 53% federal supported, and there's about 1% from non-general, non-federal that we have, and 46% from state general fund. And the actual operating and pass-through numbers are part of the PowerPoint, so we will see the actual dollar amounts that we have as we go through.
And Ms. McGlone, just to clarify, Mr. Crow has mentioned this, we're talking about the agency funding, not the total pie, right?
Madam Chair, yes, the agency funding for operations, but you will see in the PowerPoint the total pass-through money as well and okay. The entities that goes to. Lisa Miller is also here with me today. She is acting in a dual capacity and today representing us in her ERA coordinator role. She'll be presenting some information when we get to the ERA portion of our presentation. Carol Hokanson is here from our program finance division. Carol is our expert in special education funding and will be able to hopefully field any of your questions you might have when we talk about IDEA funds. And Amy Wallstein is also here. She's our Director of Government Relations. I just wanted to begin with a little bit of background information for you. MDE receives funding from 5 federal entities through the various offices that are listed on this slide. The primary funder at the federal level for us is the U.S. Department of Education through their Office of Elementary and Secondary Education and their Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services. We also get funds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the Health and Human Services Department, the Institute of Museums and Library Services, and the Corporation for National and Community Service. Throughout the presentation, you'll see federal information presented for 2 state fiscal years, 2009 and 2010. Little distraction here.
In case anyone didn't notice, Ms. Patrick is throwing paper on the floor and Representative Grafflo is retrieving it. Thank you, Representative Grafflo. You're always helpful. Sorry, Ms. McGlone.
Madam Chair, 2009 is our most recently completed state fiscal year, so you'll see those reflect actual expenditures for all of the program areas, and state fiscal year 10 will be presented as budget. Those are our estimated expenditures. The state fiscal year 10 federal funding, you'll see a pretty significant difference in the amount, and that is because we did not have any ERA expenditures in state fiscal year 9, even though funds were available on April 27th. Our programs weren't up and running in time for our districts to get geared up and get everything out there so they could be drawing funds. So they did begin drawing their federal Recovery Act funds after the 1st of July. Now, the first handout that I have in the packet after your PowerPoint note slides is something that is a much more detailed description of all the various programs we participate in through the U.S. Department of Education and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Obviously, time probably doesn't permit us to go in depth on that handout for every single program, but I think it looks like this at the little table. I think it's helpful information just to get a kind of an overview or a little background information on all of the different programs that we have. So I just share that with you for your information, and when you're really having an exciting day and want to learn more about federal education funding, it's there for you. The third slide here, you see a snapshot of the funding for education programs at MDE coming from the, as it presents from the 5 separate federal entities.
Hopefully I'll have you see it.
So you can kind of get an idea of the $600 million in state fiscal year 9. Clearly USDE is the highest ranking supporter with the National Community Services organization coming in at the bottom. For every federal dollar that we receive, there is some level of federal legal oversight, and this slide presents to you the different federal legal authorities we work with for all of the different pots of federal money we are dealing with every day. They all have also have program guidance and federal education rule that govern how the funds can be used, how the allocations of the flow-through money have to go out to the different school districts and the entitlements and how they have to be administered, what they can be used for, and so forth. The other piece that governs everything we do with our federal money, of course, are the OMB circulars that define the cost principles and the compliance requirements. Plus, we have the education, this is the United States Department of Education's general administrative regulations and their General Education Provision Act. They all come into play when we're trying to figure out what money we can send to who and what they can do with it. Now, just one, and there's one final background type piece of information here. All of our education programs with federal funding are non-supplanting. Federal dollars can supplement existing state and local funding, but we're not allowed to supplant.
Excuse me just 1 minute. There is a question, and members, this is a chance for us to ask questions as we go through. Representative Anzels.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The supplement versus supplant bullet, does that apply to the 53-46 split at the department, as well as does it apply to the outlay of the federal dollars to the school districts?
Ms. McGlone.
Madam Chair, Representative, non-supplanting provisions covers all federal dollars. In the case of the agency's operations, we can't use federal funding to support state activity, so we wouldn't be in a supplant situation. We have to use our federal funding to do the work based on those provisions of that funding source. So,
Representative Anzels.
There really isn't an opportunity for local boards of education to nimbly manage these pots in order to best fit the local school district condition, and that the federal money has to apply directly to an account that's already in place and already a program that is federally approved.
Ms. McGlone.
Madam Chair, Representative, for the most part, all of the federal funding come with not only rules for the state education agency, but for the locals as well. They probably have more opportunity to commit operating dollars and program dollars because they don't have a cap as we have, but they have to do the same personnel activity reporting that's required in the OMB circulars. So, for example, if you're going to pay a teacher with Title I funds, they have to be teaching in a Title I classroom and doing activities that are authorized by Title I. The same for special education, same for adult education, and so on down the line. So they do have to maintain program requirements with the activities those teachers are working in.
Representative Anzels.
One last question, and I hope it's a friendly. I have a hard time understanding how, at a period in time where state dollars flowing to school districts is in a declining trend, and at least temporarily, federal dollars flowing to districts is in an upward trend, and I have a hard time reconciling that we aren't really supplanting. We aren't replacing the state dollar with the federal dollar.
And
I'm going to ask, I would consider the question friendly because I have no clue what the answer is. I don't work with school district finance, so I can hand this one off to Carol and let her see how she feels about
and,
it.
And before we have Carol answer that one, I think this is a good place to insert the answer to an earlier question, which I think will be help us understand the answer to your question more, and that is how much is being spent by the state, the federal, and the local. And Mr. Crow and Mr. Strom have gotten that for us, so I'll call on Mr. Crow here. And you can see that that federal percentage has ballooned, and then it goes back to size. So I think we'll hear that, and then we'll hear your answer.
Thank you.
Mr. Crow.
Madam Chair and members, the total revenue from schools historically has been about 6% federal. But for the current fiscal year 10, we're at 60% state, 14% federal, and 27% local. And that federal share drops to 8% for fiscal 11, and then for fiscal 12 and 13 is back down to 6%. So,
could you repeat those more slowly?
Pardon me? Oh, okay. So for fiscal...
Or we could have the page copy this for everybody. How would that be?
Yeah.
Okay. But the point is, I have trouble with this too, Representative Enzels, getting my head around the fact that we get all this federal money, we know we got $500 million, and then it goes away, and they say we're not using it to supplant somehow, but I keep having to have this answer too. So if you could identify yourself, and then also Lisa Mueller has a comment as well.
Carol Wilkinson, Division of Program Finance. I'm the supervisor for special education funding. Student counting, people transportation. I'll speak to special education. So Madam Chair, Representative, I work in special education, so I'm going to speak to special education because there, special education has a maintenance of effort requirement. Okay, so you have to start with that. What that means is the district has to maintain its state and local expenditures, its cost from one year to the next, and that to maintain effort. You're maintaining the same level of commitment to special education. Once you have been determined that you maintain your effort, supplanting is not an issue. So in regards to receiving the federal funds, if you still maintain your state and local effort to special education, and the Department of Education does that calculation for each LEA, supplanting is not an issue, and it's considered supplemental at that point.
Ms. Miller, do you want...
Another day.
Ms. Miller.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to clarify something on the stimulus funds as it relates to supplement, not supplant. The stabilization fund does not have a supplanting requirement, so meaning... districts can use those funds for what they may have used state funds for in the past.
Okay. Representative Dabney and then Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm back to the special ed supplant and supplement issue and maintenance of effort. What impact does that then have on the special ed cross-subsidy issue? It sounds like it would exacerbate the cross-subsidy.
Ms. Hokanson.
Madam Chair, Representative, when you get into a maintenance of effort review, right now, because of the increased federal funds, there is, when you look at 1 year to the current year, if you have an increase in federal funds, according to federal law in special education, you can take 50% of that increase, okay? And that will allow you to free up some state and local expenditures and still meet your maintenance of effort requirement, okay? So what that means, you can reduce your state and local expenditures and reduce your base from 1 year to the next and maintain your MO requirement. Now, what is happening, does it exacerbate the cross-subsidy? Some districts have switched some of their local costs of special education with this increased federal money to federal money. So it has not worsened the cross-subsidy. It has improved it for some districts if they've decided to use more of their federal funds for some local costs, and that's what they're doing right now. Does that help you?
I think I got it.
Maintenance of effort is a very complex issue, and we've spent most of our time trying to work with districts on that particular topic. But that it, right now, districts are probably alleviating their cross-subsidy issue right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Dabney. Representative Ward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my question also relates around the supplement versus supplant versus maintenance of effort as well in special ed. For services, for special ed services, you know, we can easily determine what a district's maintenance of effort is, in my opinion, depending upon the level of service that a child has and the type of service and things as such. But transportation, special ed transportation specifically, and Ms. Adams, is it Ms. Adams?
Ms. Hawkins.
Ms. Hawkins.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, Ms. Hawkins. That's close, yeah.
Reps at Ward, you're so quick.
Ms. Wilkinson, my understanding is that transportation, and I just want to dwell on a transportation issue, but specifically special ed transportation. Some districts base their maintenance of effort costs, transportation costs, on the routes based on a number of miles. Some districts go by number of routes. Some districts go by number of students. So when you're trying to figure out an equitable maintenance of effort, districts do it in different kind of formulas. So how does that impact a true maintenance of effort within the state of Minnesota, within the individual districts? Do you get my question?
Ms. Hawkinson.
Madam Chair, Representative, special education transportation is included in our review of maintenance of effort for school districts. Mm-hmm. So we're including those expenditures, but how they allocate their costs, they're supposed to allocate it consistently across based upon an allocation method. So given I'm not that familiar with how they're allocating it, we're looking at straight expenditures. I wouldn't really have a comment on if they're not allocating them consistently, other than we are including them in the maintenance of effort review.
Representative Ward?
Well, Representative Newton and myself have been working on some issues with transportation, private versus public transportation and services and things. And one of the things I learned this in the interim was that the districts price out transportation costs in different means, just like I said, in different ways. So, and that can come up with the Minoka district can come up with a different maintenance effort for their transportation costs than the Brainerd district can.
Madam Chair, Representative,
depending upon what, Ms. Hawkinson, depending upon what formula they use.
Okay. Transportation is just one component of the maintenance of effort review. When we're looking at maintenance of effort for school districts, precluding all the salaries and the wages and benefits and transportation costs of that district that are reported to MDE. So it's my understanding of allocating of costs that they have to choose a method and how to allocate it, and it should be allocated consistently and fairly across the board. We have a person in our department, Kelly Wasika, who could explain that methodology much better than I could. All I know is that transportation for special education is one component of our review of maintenance of effort. And it's not really the biggest one, because most of the expenditures for special ed is really in the salary area, the wages area.
All right. Yep, thank you very much. Ms. McGlone, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One last piece in kind of the general background provisions is helping to understand how education funding is available. Education funding has a unique provision that affects the availability of federal funds program called its Tidings Amendment. Tidings allows the availability of funds for actually more than the federal award year. You'll know if you're in other committees or you hear about federal funding generally, federal funding is available on the federal award year from 10-1 to 9-30. But because of tidings, it is possible to actually have three open federal years of money at one given time. In the handouts, there's a picture of this this timeline that's a little bit bigger and might be a little easier to look at than the little teeny square on the PowerPoint notes. But I just want to kind of walk through so you have an understanding of sometimes how confusing this might be for your school districts, too. They actually, the top bracket in about the middle of the page actually follows one single federal fiscal year through the entire period of award tidings and closeout. And you can see that bracket crosses over actually three school years. So at the very beginning, one of the things about education funding is we have a forward funding provision so that even though the appropriation isn't available till October 1st, the USDA Department of Education actually makes it available for states and local education agencies on July 1st, so it corresponds to the school year. So it's available for the district for the entire school year. So that first 3 months of the award funding availability is called the forward funding period. And then we have the actual award year that runs from the 10-1 to 9-30. The tidings amendment is the 1 year after the award period that the funds are still available as carry forward to be spent by the school districts in whatever budget plan they have for spending money in that new school year. So they actually have whatever they had left over at the end of the award period to spend on the new school year. They don't have to keep it focused on the old school year if they have carry forward funds. And that 12-month period takes you then to September 30th of the following year, and then you have a 3-month closeout. And during that closeout, no one can make new obligations against those federal monies, but you do have time to pay your bills, get your funds drawn, and close out your grant award. So it actually makes your federal award available for an entire 30 months for the most part. There are some grants that are competitive. And in competitive grants, you have a start and end date. You don't have the tidings provisions, so you have to work within that start and end date. But with the regular formula money that we send out, both the local education agency and the state have the tidings period available to them to spend the money in. So that's kind of a little general, high-level background piece on the things that I have to think about on a regular basis when I'm working with my federal dollars. Now, this next chart actually shows you a history of MDE's federal spending since 1996, which is the beginning of the new accounting system, so it's when I have information available to me. And so you can see that we have had, obviously, an increase in our federal spending, but that the last few years it's been pretty much consistent with the exception, obviously, of the ERA funding. Basically, what the ERA funding is gives us a one-time shot at doubling our money, pretty much. So, but the next page, and this chart is available to you on a regular piece of paper, too, because it's a little easier to see. This actually shows us by the award authority where this federal money is coming from. And I think that's a little helpful as you go through to kind of get a feel for knowing who's sending us money and why. But there is a spreadsheet along with your packet that actually shows you by each of these state fiscal years all of the federal appropriations that we have. Those are the different programs and how much money we spent from 1996 through, it goes through 2011. So you should be able to see by whatever type of appropriation activity you're interested in how much money Minnesota's had to expend. One thing that's really important to note, though, that whenever you take that and you compare it against Minnesota's awards that may be out on the USDE site, you actually are never going to see an actual matching number because the awards on a given year are available for that 30-month period of time. So we are spending over multiple state fiscal years the different federal dollars. So we have a hard time matching in a totals, but we do maintain a very thorough reconciliation of all of our federal accounts so we know how much we have left in any given year at any time. So this actually walks you through just the numbers of expenditures and the percentage of the total So you can see MDE's expenditures by fund, and this is for the whole agency, both operating and flow-through. We are funded in total 91.58% by the state funds and 8.28% by federal dollars. Now, those percentages change on the next slide for state fiscal year 10, again, because of the ERA funding. This is a one-time shot at a 10.5% federal commitment to education in Minnesota and an 81.8% commitment to the state. Now, for the operating expenditures, I also gave you a little indication of how we spend that money at MDE. So this is our federal operating, and you can see the bulk of the money is going out in just two categories, and that's payroll and our grants or contracts. And the grants or contracts category is where we pay for our testing contract, and there is a federal support for our testing contract. So that's why that's kind of a larger category than general operations.
Ms. McGlone, could you give me an idea of, this is the 2009 testing expenditure. What was that percentage, say, 5 years ago?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I don't have that calculated for 5 years ago, but I certainly would be happy to get that for you.
Would you generally say that it's just kind of crescendoed over the years?
Madam Chair, the federal commitment to the state's testing expenses had only recently started. And so I just can't recall off the top of my head what year we started getting money in, but at the beginning we were getting very little federal support for the state assessment, and it was sometime after the authorization of NCLB that they actually started having a state assessment grant itself, and that's when we started using some of the funding for the state contract. Okay. But I have some things back at the office that actually break the testing contract down for several years, and I'll be sure you get that.
Okay, thank you.
So in specific detail on the 13th slide, you see the 09 expenditures that were reflected on the chart by individual category. And I think it's important to note here that you'll see on the pass-through section, which I didn't chart out for you, but it shows you all the different entity types that get money from us in our accounting system. We track school district, county, cities and towns, higher education, other government entities. In this case, those are the libraries. State agencies, non-government organizations, which looks really high, and you might wonder what those are. Majority of those are the sponsors of the child and adult food care program. Sovereign entities, and then we have some other payments to individuals. That's the Bird Scholarship program. And you have that same information available for you to look at for 10. And in the next two slides, this just shows you a total excluding ERA funds for what 9 and 10 would look like side by side without the ERA funds. So you can see that the federal commitment in these areas is fairly similar. It hasn't seen any significant increase outside of the ERA pot of money. So just thought that that might be helpful. Now, the one thing that you can see by looking at this, too, is basically our big money comes from ESEA. In that ESEA category, though, the primary cost is Title I. Title I is about $118 million for Fiscal 9 and $123 million for 10. So that really is, even though all the other titles are in the ESEA programs and a number of other things, the large dollars are wrapped up in Title I. Food and nutrition, which is our second largest funding source, is a reimbursement program, one of the few that we have. It's not an entitlement or a formula calculation. It's a meal count times rate. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture sets a rate for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, and then the providers submit reports on their child count and meal counts, and that's how they are reimbursed. For that, most of that. And then the third largest funding source that we have is special education. And that money is used to provide the free and appropriate education to children with disabilities. So Lisa's going to go into more detail for you about the ERA funding itself, but just in general, the majority of the ERA pots of money that you know, Title I, Special Education, Part B and Part C, all of them, they are governed, the activities are governed under the normal Title I or Special Education rules and requirements. So the programs are really the same. There aren't new special programs too much for the ERA funding, with the exception of the National School Lunch Program equipment grants. That's something we didn't have before, and the state fiscal stabilization fund that's being used in comparison to Title VIII, which is impact aid.
We have two questions in here, Representative Anzels and then Representative Dietrich. Representative Anzels.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I find it interesting that nowhere on any of these slides yet is anything remotely connected to technical assistance provided by you all at the department to the school districts, whether it be curriculum work or any number of things. Where would one find and be able to quantify what the department's commitment to technical assistance is?
Ms. McLaughlin.
Madam Chair, Representative Anzels, probably where we can best see that in this presentation is in the slides on 13 and 14, where we discuss what the operating expenditures are for. All of those operating expenditures are going out to provide the technical assistance we're required to in all of the federal programs. And I'm sorry I didn't really relate this to an agency overview kind of thing. I just came in my head thinking I'd be talking about the federal sources of revenue. But we certainly can have the people that are best at that come and tell you all the wonderful things they do for our schools.
Representative Anzels.
Thank you. We all represent districts, and we all represent superintendents, and we work for superintendents and boards, and that is always one of the top three questions or issues that our superintendents want to talk to us about, and that is the relationship between the department and the districts and the guidance that is provided to districts so districts know what it is the department's expectations are. And I need to know more about that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Representative, I think that's really an important thing for everyone to understand. And I would say I work in the basement, which I do, but I love it. It's a great place to be. Not up there with any of the education program and policy people, but I do know that having worked 30, some ungodly number of years for the state and in many different agencies, that I have been incredibly impressed with the people at the Department of Education since coming there a few years ago. These people work day and night without thinking about time to serve the children of the state of Minnesota and the educational system of the state of Minnesota. And I just can't help but be impressed, and it can't help but rub off a little bit. I mean, it does. You get kind of excited, you get kind of enthusiastic, but I still like being in the basement and not being involved in the programs, just dealing with the money. It's a whole lot easier from my perspective. So, but I know that whatever the committee would like to do in learning about the operations of the agency, I have a lot of peers who are thrilled to brag about what they do.
And we do hear quite a bit, you know, we keep wondering, the department keeps getting cut and cut and cut, and then we do hear that, you know, people have more trouble getting help as much as testing and prescriptions, so that's something that we're always interested in. Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm referring, looking at this bar graph that you handed out as far as federal funding. And
which one?
The colored one is one Representative Dietrich is holding up. Department of Education federal spending history by federal authority.
Yes, and I have a couple of questions in regards to this. This is very interesting information. I don't think that I've ever seen it all in one place like this, so I do have just a couple of questions. So the key, the multicolored key on the right, are those all of the different areas that the federal funds could flow to a state? Ms. McGlone.
Madam Chair, Representative Dietrich, those are all the federal funding areas that actually do come to the state of Minnesota through the Department of Education. So every one of those colors represents a federal program that we get money from. So McKinney-Vento Homeless, they're all listed there separately.
Representative Dietrich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, the part that confuses me then is that when I first looked at the chart, I then thought in 1996 we actually got two funding streams from the federal government. In 2011, we will get six different funding streams from the federal government. But obviously, I'm reading this wrong.
Ms. McGlone.
Madam Chair, Representative Dietrich, actually, you're not in. Back in 96, the funding came to us in two block grants for all the programs. It wasn't separated out by every act. So the federal government started changing the way it did allocations in probably 96, 97, 98, so somewhere in around there. Prior to that, we had a block grant for food programs and a block grant for education programs. So within those federal streams of money, all the different divisions of funds would happen, but it was governed and sent to us in one chunk.
So what in 2011 when I see one, two, three, six block colors, that really means there's more colors embedded in, under there.
Ms. McLaughlin.
Madam Chair, that means that there is the six visible different legal authorities. So that's the six big pots of money, but unfortunately all of the little pots are in there, but they're in those thick black lines. They kind of run together and you don't get to see the individual colors.
Oh.
This, in where you can probably see what you're looking for a little bit better might be on this, in the chart that shows up on page 16 and 17 where it has the actual federal legal authority and those dollar amounts. Because the big ones are so big, they kind of distort the graph.
Yeah.
But this is all the different legal authorities we're receiving funds from right now.
Representative Dietrich.
That helps. Thank you. I was very confused by the color issue. Thank you.
Hey, Representative Newton. And then Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question on, a couple of questions on the pass through going through the Department of Education. As I look at this for 2009 and 2010, the Department of Education is retaining about $6 million more in federal funds in 2010 than they had in 2009. And payroll obviously has gone up, but then I see rent has increased almost 50% as well. Can you explain that? And also, if you would address whether the department has the same constraints as school districts do in terms of if money's coming in for special ed and the money that the department gets, if that has to stay in special ed or is that spread throughout the department as well?
And Representative Newton, are you looking at page 14?
I'm looking at page 5.
Page 5.
Okay. Yeah. And slides 13 and 15, I guess.
Yep.
Madam Chair.
Different pages. Oh, so it is page 5, slide 15, it is slide 14. Okay.
Yeah, comparing slide 13 to slide.
Okay, got it.
15, I guess.